Just remember, you're touching lives. Be the fingerprint of Jesus. Amen? You can be the fingerprint of God in people's lives. You can leave a mark on them that only points to Jesus. Amen. So anyway, back to church right now. We started out this year talking about just the word that God had put in my heart is a year of awe and wonder. A year of awe and wonder. And I don't think that's changed. That hasn't changed. We are looking with hope-filled eyes at what God is going to do, what God is doing, what God has been doing, but a year of just going, oh, God, you're so amazing. Amen? 2025, a year of awe and wonder, a year of seeing what God is up to, a year of being just perplexed at the enormity of God's glory and beauty and presence in our lives. We pray that for you guys all the time. Marty and I were here praying last night, just declaring things over you guys, praying things over this church, praying victory and life and hope, and just praying for people in struggles and just seeing the glory of Jesus in all of our lives. And so we are expecting that with all of our hearts. Amen. We week number two of Trust God. And thank you, Mary, for sharing that earlier. Oh, we actually have some of those slides, just a couple review slides from last week. The Hebrew word is batah. It means, Mary read this already this morning in her opener, means the sense of well-being and security that results from having something or someone in whom to place confidence. It means to live at ease because of confidence in God. Amen? And I shared with you that short little story from Dennis Clark. The book is Flowing in the River of God's Will. And just that was so powerful for me. He says this, every time we trust in God and don't give in to fear. We talked about fear so much last time. That's the enemy of trust. Fear is the robber of trust. Fear is the crippler of your trust and your hope, right? Every time we trust God and don't give in to fear, we stay in peace. And this next line is the nugget. A heart at peace positions us so God can move on our behalf. And that is so true. I can't overstate how important that is, of staying in the peace of God's presence, the supernatural peace, staying in that, maintaining that, cultivating that, stewarding that. God gives us things to steward, he hands them to us. Baby's not here. It's all right. I'm going to use baby as an example anyways. Got a new baby in the house. Everywhere you go, everyone's like, ooh, give me, I want the baby. Fresh baby smell, right? Give me a little rubble of baby, right? I love babies. You know what those people are doing in that moment? They didn't just gain a new member of their family. No, they're stewarding something that's not theirs. That's what being a steward is. And Isaac's like, you better be a good steward. Right? So your peace isn't even your peace. It's God's peace, but we get to steward that. That means we protect it, and we maintain it, and we guard it. And God gives that peace to us, and then we try to push out the other things that want to rob that peace. Because as our hearts are in peace, amazing things happen. This is all review from last time. Isaiah 26, verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace all who what? Trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. And then we told a story about Dave and Jeannie Kaufman. And did we have that letter this morning? We don't have that. Do you want? It will take her a second. I don't have their picture up here today, but when Dave was in, Pastor Dave was in India one time and kind of in a precarious situation, he had called home might have been his last time talking to his wife, and all Jeannie kept saying was, maintain peace, Dave. Maintain peace. Dave, you're a steward of God's peace in this moment right now. If we want the Lord to move, you need to maintain peace. The most important thing you can do right now when people are dying, I don't want to read it. You can read it. I just asked if we had it. And so, just that it's so important. You don't even want to stay up for the... It's a right. I'm finishing my thought. Yeah, I'm getting ready. And so, if you weren't here last week, they were also in another precarious situation. They were up in a hotel, and I don't know if I got all the details right. I was going to apologize to Jeannie in case they watched the video. I'm like, I don't know if I got this exactly right, but they were in a fire and they could not get down, and it was at least the third or fourth floor. I think it was the fifth floor. But God miraculously got them out of there and sent the firefighters, or not the firefighter, but the hotel staff, and just incredible. But in the middle, 32 minutes or 34 minutes of being engulfed in flames with no way out, maintaining peace, singing worship songs, calling people on the phone saying, are you stuck too? Okay, we're going to make it out of here. Jesus is good, right? Just maintaining peace. So, on that note, this was in the mail as we were talking about Dave and Jeannie and didn't know that any of this had transpired. And so we called them and we said, hey, guess who was at church on Sunday? you guys were. And so is that when we got Sunday night, we went and checked the church mail and we got this letter.
Yeah. So Kirk, Marnie, and congregation, our hearts were heavy when we heard the news of the flood. I remembered Pastor Dwight visiting with me many years ago when he started the ministry there. We've always been a sister church with a long history together. Your interview on Kello TV was excellent. Glory to Jesus. In the midst of adversity, the Lord helps us to overcome. You are great examples to Sisseton and lights to the body of Christ. We send this financial gift to say, we love you, we bless you, and we stand with you. You continue to be in our prayers, and I believe that soon you will be back.
Yeah. Yeah, so they send a wonderful check along with... Oh, into our own facility, yeah. Yeah, praise God. So, love having people that we walk through this life. Get some good friends that will uphold you through those times and keep your... And do more than just pat you on the shoulder and comfort you. They'll tell you the hard things. They'll keep looking to Jesus. I know that's not what you want to hear, but just like lean into Jesus. Those are good friends. Those are good friends. So that was from last week. And I just felt that key was so key. And I don't know if that stuck with anyone this week, the maintain peace. I had moments during this week when fear tried to rise, and I remembered, maintain peace. See, the pastor gets blessed just as much from these messages, or not blessed, I don't know, whatever. Maybe I'm overstating. So, I don't know a lot, so I tend to learn a lot when we do this. And so, all throughout this week, I had at least two or three times where I was tempted to mismanage my peace, and I remembered, maintain peace. Maintain peace. Fear wanted to come in. Doubts wanted to come in. Anxiety wanted to show up, was knocking at the door. Hey, this is anxiety. Most of us are like, come on in. There's plenty of room. And you know what I did? I was like, hold on. Peace is already here. We're full. No occupancy. When you, here's the deal. This nugget of maintaining peace and letting the glory of God flow through that, when you lose your peace, you don't hear God's voice. Or it's much, much more difficult to, because the anxiety is the loudest voice in that moment. It's hard to hear the still small voice when inside of you screaming is, it's not going to work, it's all going to fail, it's all going to be bad. It's hard to hear that gentle dove. You know what I'm saying? Are you with me? It's hard to find wisdom. You make when you lose your peace, you make unwise choices. We start making hasty decisions. We start doing things that are not calculated. Because when we're in peace, we calculate. We seek wisdom. We listen. You miss the... It's easy. I didn't have enough room to put all the words that I need. But it's easy to miss the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's harder to follow that flow. When you're in peace... When you're cultivating that peace, it's easier to get the nudge from the Holy Spirit. It's easy, like when you're cultivating that peace from the Lord, it's a lot easier for the Lord to catch your ear and catch your eye. You go, oh, I need to look at that, or I need to look at this verse. Oh, that's right. Wow, I wonder what that means. You when you lose your peace, you end up, instead of helping your situation, you create more harm. You create physical harm. You often create relational harm. When you guys lose your peace, the people that are close to you don't like it. You damage relationships unintentionally. When we get filled with anxiety, we tend to not be the best version of ourselves. But it's the anxiety in me. And we say things, we use the creative power of our words to say things when we don't keep our peace. We say things that sabotage, that make the situation worse instead of better. We cripple the work of God by declaring things that shouldn't be declared. So do you see that it's important to maintain peace? Amen? Amen. We want to cultivate that peace, maintain peace. So let's move on to trust for this week. I've got three areas that you need to maintain trust in, that the devil wants to get in, that your enemy wants to use to rob peace from you and to derail your life in those areas from trusting God. So three areas that the Word of God would tell us are really important. So when we're talking about maintaining peace and we're talking about no fear, say no fear. So look at this. Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4 says, when I am afraid, what do? I put my trust in you, right? Because fear wants to rise up, but I don't let fear rise up. I say no, and I squish that down, and I put my trust in the Lord. God, you're my trust. Look at this next section. In God, whose word I praise. The next section says, in God I trust, and I'm not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Sandwiched right in between, I'm afraid, but I'm going to trust in the Lord, and I'm not afraid, I trust in the Lord. Sandwiched between there is the word of God. I praise the word. I exalt the word. I praise God's word. That's a weird phrase for me to think of. I praise God's word. It's his word. It's him expressing his heart, thoughts, and intentions. It's his word. So his word is, it's of him. I don't know how else to say that. But one of the things we got to watch out for is, are we trusting in God's word? The enemy wants to erode the trust in his word in your life. It's really easy, folks, when it's easy in church, like, yay, when we're all good and everyone's happy, and it's all like, God can do it, God can do it, God can do it, God can do it, right? We're all, right? But on Tuesday morning when everything's falling apart and you don't feel like God can do it, it's hard to trust the word of God that says, I'll never leave you or forsake you when you're feeling alone and forsaken. It's hard. Do you know what I'm saying? It's God wants us to trust in him, his word, because it's of him. It's his word. But the devil wants to come along and just put cracks and doubts in the word of God, or wants us to trust something kind of as much or maybe just a little bit more than the word of God. And that's a scary place to live. Look at this in Psalm 119, 41 and 42 says, may your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise, which is your word. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. I trust in your word. The word of God is trustworthy and true. It's for you to lean upon. It's a rock for your feet. It's salvation for your soul. The word of God, let it permeate your lives, man. Like, do devotions. But like, do devotions. Like, get in the word. Let the word of God saturate your life and then choose that, God, I'm going to trust what you say is true. I'm going to trust the word of God for my life to be my combatant against emotions, to help me maintain peace. The word of God will help you maintain peace. Did you hear that? In our struggle, in our effort, in our stewardship of the peace that God has given us, one of the great tools that you have is the word of God, because it shows us who he is and what he says and what he expects and what he has planned for us. It's his heart. It's revealed to us. So get in the word of God. Man, more than ever, get in the word of God. 2025, get in the Word of God. Hey, I've been meaning to do that. Do that. Like, now's the time. Today's the day. Get in the Word of God. Well, I've been meaning to. No, do it now. Like, today. Like, start this afternoon. Get in. Like, get a new devotional. Buy something on Amazon. If you need $20, come and ask me. I'll give it to you. I really will. Get something so that you can study the Word of God, because it is a rock for your soul. It will help you maintain peace. And as we maintain peace, everything's better. We hear the voice of the Lord. We make good decisions. We don't sabotage our situation. We don't put aught in our relationships because we're just full of anxiety. People get the best version of me when I'm in peace. Okay? Trusting in the Lord means trusting in His Word. If we're going to preach on trusting in the Lord, then you have to trust in His Word. You have to. It's paramount. Revelation 21, 5 and 6 says this. And he who is seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he also said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and they're true." And he said to me, "It's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of water of life without payment." These words are trustworthy and true. The Word of God is trustworthy and true. Amen? So don't let the enemy... Now we all know we have an enemy of our souls, right? And we all know that he wants to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Why would we willingly give over control of that, give over, leave the gates wide open to the city, just because we're not trusting in the Word of God? We're not leaning into the Word of God. We're not building our life upon the Word of God. I'll get off that now, but it's so important. It's so important. "Pastor, I've just been beat up all week, and the devil's just doing that, and he's just doing this, and my emotions are all over the place." What verse has been sticking out to you? "I just haven't even read my Bible for 3 weeks. Okay? Then enjoy. I don't know what else to tell. I'll pray for you, but just have at it. If that seems to be working for you, then go ahead. I'm being kind of funny, but I'm kind of being serious too, because it's true. I've had my own experiences of that. Get in the Word of God and let it soothe your soul. Let the truth of that just resonate in your spirit and know that God's got this. God's got this. All right. Second area. This is going to be a little confusing just for a second, but it won't be confusing for long. Second area that trust opens up to and the devil wants to attack is being blessed. Being blessed. You know, this will make sense in a second. We're going to read Psalm 40, verses 4 and 5. Blessed, say blessed. Blessed. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. So who's blessed? The one who trusts. And if you trust in the Lord, what happens? Blessed. Okay. You're with Brian. Brian, you and I can do this. Me and you, we're together on this. We are on the same page. Everyone else, they're in the same book, but they're coming along. Blessed, what kind of people are blessed? Those who trust the Lord. And if you trust in the Lord, you're blessed. There's a whole group of us now. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, who does not turn my eyes, give my gaze, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders. I left this, I didn't need this next section, but this is so poignant and pertinent to where we're at as a church right now this year. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders you have done, the things that you have planned for COC and the people of this church and their families and extended families. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Ooh, that's good stuff. But if you trust in the Lord, you're blessed. So here's this deal. There's this battle for blessing. And that sounds weird. I'm going to explain it right now. You see it in Psalm chapter 73. David is just struggling. The wicked, they don't have any problems. The wicked, they're healthy. The wicked, they're right? And he's having this moment where he's just deflated. And then right in the middle of that chapter, it says, and I was downcast or whatever, however it says it, it says, until until I entered the sanctuary of the Lord. And then I saw what their ultimate end is, and I see what the benefits are of walking with the Lord. And so sometimes it's easy for us, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but it was probably about 2 months ago, and we talked about worldview for a Sunday or two. And in our worldview, everyone has a worldview. And it doesn't mean like a worldly view. It just means how I interpret everything. It's my core interpretation of life. And one of the questions on there, these are the four kind of questions. Like, what is reality? Who is well off or blessed? Who is a truly good person? And how do you become a truly? Like, everyone's answering those four questions. Everyone is. Every person is. But the second question is what's up for grabs. Who is blessed? And I'll just challenge you this morning that some of our woes come from trusting in someone else's definition of being blessed. I want you guys to come along with me in this thought process here. And I know it's a little weird, but just when we label the wrong things as being blessed, and this is low-hanging fruit. This is easy examples, but how many millionaires and billionaires are miserable? How many artists, you know, that music artists that are just famous and all they've longed for was fame and success, were famous and successful to the nth degree and ended up taking their own lives. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, when we label the blessed life in the wrong way, we end up pursuing goals that don't achieve what our souls need. And so Jesus flipped all that on its head. And when he started it out, this is the first series that I ever preached after Pastor died. It was the Blessed Are, right? It's the Sermon on the Mount. It was Matthew 5. Look at this. We call it the upside down kingdom. Jesus said, no, like, it's what you think is blessed in the kingdom of God, it's actually opposite. It's weird. It's upside down. It's different. It's backwards. Blessed are the, Jesus is like, in this word, Greek word is makarios. It means like, it doesn't mean just mean happy or blessed. It means like blessed. It means like blessed, like overflowing, rich life. You ever had one of those moments you're like, oh, I wish I could just push pause on time right now. I wish I could, you know, where maybe you got all the kids or grandkids there, or the sun is going down, or you just caught that 48-inch walleye or whatever, you know, I don't even, the 90-point buck, or like, you're just like, I just want to stay in this moment, or you're gazing into your wife's eyes, and you're just like, I just want this to never end, right? Whatever the case may be, that's kind of the heart behind this Greek word, bless, makarios. And Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. What? Jesus, don't you know what that means? He said, yeah, no, I really do. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Wait a minute. Meekness is weakness. Jesus is like, no, that's a key to inheriting the earth. Like, there is more blessing and infusion of God's kingdom in someone who's poor of spirit and who's meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll be shown mercy. Hey, 2025, I don't know the last time we've seen mercy in our culture. Mercy's a thing of 30 years ago. People are attack hungry. Boy, they see a little flaw or a little crack in the armor, man. It's like piranhas. And Jesus said, you want to be blessed? Be merciful. Be merciful. For you'll be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Hey, there's something we could use more of. We should start a book group called The Peacemakers. Or not. Blessed are those who are persecuted. And all of this stuff, it sounds so backwards. We're like, Jesus, hey, you're a cool teacher and all, but your stuff's all wrong. It's all backwards. And now you guys think I'm being really sacrilegious, but you think the same things, you just don't put words to it. Because if you thought he was right on, we would pursue these things. But you don't, and neither do I. Now, we keep redirecting our hearts. That's why we need to be in the Word of God. We keep reorienting our hearts on Jesus' version of what being blessed is. But we keep getting strayed away because there's all these other people around us, all what we read in that verse, the proud who serve other gods. And we're like, oh, they look blessed. And we let someone else define what blessing is. But Jesus is like, man, if you want to be blessed, here's what you do. So the enemy, listen to this, guys. The enemy will fight to define what blessing means to you. Part of you stewarding your peace is finding out what God calls blessed and leaning into that. There's not a lot of applause for that. That's okay. I'm looking for that to land in our hearts, as uncomfortable as that is. God, what is your sense of blessing, and how do I flow in that? Look at this verse in Psalm 84, 11 and 12. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. Sounds good. Yay. This is not a trick thing. That's good stuff. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. Blessed is the one who trusts in you. Proverbs 16, 20 says this, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Jeremiah, this is the last one in this section. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence, come on, church, we place our confidence in so many, This is like what's that one game where they do the tortillas and they slap, you got a mouthful of water and they slap you in the face. This is kind of a slap in the, but it's a tortilla slap. And you try not to laugh and spit the water out. Yeah, some people can really slap pretty hard with a tortilla. This is a soft tortilla slap, but it's a slap in, for my face. Like, where's my confidence at? Is my confidence in the Lord, or is it in something else? Or is it in the Lord and something else? Woo, doggy. That one stings like yellow spiders dropping from a wasp nest. They didn't actually sting me. They were stung. So just to clarify that. If you didn't see my Facebook post, go find Facebook or something. But yeah. Wasp nests. Be careful when you take them down because they're full of yellow spiders. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. God, where's my confidence? Where am I getting my confidence? Where am I getting my emotional security from? Is it from the Lord, or is it from things working out how I think they should? Am I getting my confidence from the Lord? Am I trusting in the Lord? Or am I getting my confidence from, yeah, from the Lord, but from whatever, my bank account, my friends. Not that we don't lean on other things, that's okay, but where am I getting my ultimate confidence from? My ultimate confidence needs to be in the Lord. And then I'll be blessed. They'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear. Church, you with me still? Okay, I know some of you're tempted to fall asleep. Don't do it. Fight the temptation. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries, no anxiety in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Hey, listen to this, guys, church. Hey, listen to this. I don't think that last paragraph is talking about trees. I don't think this is a horticulture lecture. Hold on. Flora and fauna are present in the Word of God, but in this particular example, I do not think that this is talking about trees, church. Are you with me today? I think this is talking about you. And it's saying that blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. They will be like a tree planted by the water, sending out roots. And no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear. When heat comes, his leaves are always green. No anxiety, no worries. Great theologian once said, don't worry, be happy. Seeing if you're still awake. With all of your heart. Area number 3, we're closing up with these. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says, trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All of your heart. And don't lean. That word trust is that confidence, and it also means kind of leaning on. Don't lean on. Lean on the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Has anyone ever had a situation that turned out differently than you thought it was going to, that you were praying about, and then when you got to the end of it, and you were maybe a week later, or a month later, or a year later, you said, oh, thank you, Jesus, that it didn't turn out the way that I thought it should turn out. Do not lean on your own understanding, but trust, confidence, lean on the Lord. Amen? Oh, doesn't mean you can't pray in faith, and I've got this way of what I think should happen, but God, I'm trusting in your ways. And as we lean into him, the blessings come, because sometimes you go, man, that would have been so far short of the blessing you wanted me to have. We've got many of those situations in our life. Like, God, if this would have worked out like we prayed, like we expected as we prayed, God worked it out because we prayed and put faith and confidence in him. But I'm so glad that he didn't tailor the situation to match what was in my head. Amen? That's partly what that's talking about. That's not all it was, but that's partly what it's talking about. My one quote for the day from Got Questions says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts, from Isaiah. God sees the whole picture while we only see our tiny corner of it. To trust in the Lord with all of our hearts. Listen to this line. Guys, this line is worth the price of admission right here. I'm going to read it to you. Get prepared. Fill your hearts with anticipation, because this next two sentences are going to just be worth it all. This is good stuff. To trust in the Lord with all of our hearts means we can't place our own right to understand above his right to direct our lives the way he sees fit. That's a lot to swallow. I'm going to read it again and just marinate on that. That's so good, guys. This will be a key for you maintaining peace right here. To trust in the Lord with all of our heart means that I can't my right to understand. God, I've got a right to understand how this is going to work out. I can't put that above his right, because he's Lord, to direct my life the way he sees fit. That's what maintains peace. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. When we insist on God always making sense to our finite minds, we're setting ourselves up for spiritual trouble. Isn't that powerful? Man, because I always want to be like, but God, I need to know. He says, no, you don't. You need to trust. I need to know. You need to trust. I need to know. You need to trust. Can I do both? No. Sometimes the answer is no. Sometimes he gives revelation, and it's great. But sometimes the answer is no. Trust. Lean into his goodness. Lean into who you know he is. Well, how do I know who he is? Remember point one, get in the Word of God. That's how we know who he is. Testimonies of his goodness in people's life. Testimonies about the Word of God producing fruit in people's lives. Psalm 37, 5 through 6. It's our last verse for the day. Commit your way. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act, making your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like the noonday. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? But see, the doorway to that is commit your way. Lots of people believe, few people commit. Demons believe. The access to the goodness of God is the committing my ways. That's meant to be an invitation. No, that's not even a tortilla slap. That's just, man, we wanna yield our hearts to him. I want to commit my ways to him. When I commit my way to the Lord and trust in him, he will act. He'll act. He'll act on your behalf. He'll make your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like the noonday. Just a recap. Am I trusting in God's word? These three areas that the enemy wants to just put cracks in the foundation. Am I trusting in God's word? Who has the authority? Who gets the right to define what's blessed in your life? If I lean into God's version of blessing, he's going to bless. And am I trusting the Lord with all of my heart? Amen? That's good stuff. Man, there was a lot of verses in there. And I'm praying that, I saw a bunch of people writing stuff down. I'm praying that there was a nugget in there of trusting the Lord, of maintaining peace. All three of these areas are key for maintaining. I can't maintain the Lord's peace when my way is not committed to Him. When I'm running in ways that are contrary to Him, or I'm leaning on something else besides the Lord, I don't steward His peace well. It's hard. It's elusive. I might get a sense of peace once in a while, but I can't maintain that peace. When I'm chasing after blessings that aren't God's blessings, man, I'm not going to be peaceful at all. I'm going to be in that moment, like looking, running after something else. When I'm not founded on the Word of God, wow, peace is going to be really elusive. Because I'm just going to go off of every whim and fancy and every feeling and emotion in that moment. And I'm good until the situation changes or someone else says something or I get another nugget of bad news because I haven't leaned into His Word and who He is. Does that make sense? All right, let's pray. God, I thank You for being so good. We thank You for being so trustworthy. Thank You for Your Word, which is trustworthy and true. I pray that that would be the foundation of our life. I pray that the blessing of God would overfill our lives as we learn to trust in You. And I pray that we would lean into You with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding. Commit our ways to You and watch the blessing of God flow in our lives. Pray for a great week for us, a great service next Sunday. Lord, just bless and anoint Vern and the worship team and just everybody involved with the service. And I pray for a great Wednesday night at Shauna's, and we just thank You that You're looking out for us, and we just yield our ways to You today in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen.